Good morning, and welcome in the name of Christ. Today's lesson comes from Mark chapter 6, verses 14 through 29, which is the account of the killing of John the Baptist by King Herod. Doing the right thing, standing up for a principle or a person who is being treated unjustly, speaking the truth, even though it may cost you. These things are never easy, are they? Have you ever been caught in a circumstance when it was hard to tell the truth or stand up to someone in power? If so, what was the outcome? Did you choose to do the right thing? Have you ever stood up for someone who is being bullied or treated unjustly? Or did you just look the other way so you wouldn't have to get involved? This is a difficult situation for anyone, isn't it? I have been faced with choices like this on several occasions. Perhaps it was a fellow employee who I witnessed stealing, or someone who was being taken advantage of by a friend or the owner of a business. It is at times like these that we are forced to make choices, and almost always we know what the right choice is. However, we also know that if we choose to challenge those in power, there will be a price to pay. It will cost us if we speak the truth and expose an injustice for everyone to see, especially if a lot of people are making money from it. I wish that I could say that I have always made the right choice and did what I knew to be right, but that would be a lie. There were times because I was afraid of what would happen to me or what it would cost me to speak the truth, that instead of speaking the truth, I just kept silent. Here's just one example. Where I grew up, I rode the school bus to school every day. And on the bus, there was a neighbor kid who was a bully, and he loved to pick on all the other kids who were smaller than he was. One day, he was making spitballs out of paper and hitting the driver in the back of the head with them. Well, the driver, who was concentrating on driving the bus, couldn't figure out who was doing it. Finally, after the third time of getting hit, he stopped the bus, asked everyone on the bus who was doing it, but no one would say a word. The bully had already told those of us who knew it was him that if we ratted him out, he was going to make our lives miserable. So we just sat in our seats and looked at the floor. Well, the driver thought he knew which kid it was, but he accused the wrong kid. Then several of us spoke up, and we told the driver that he had the wrong kid. So the driver said, "Okay then, tell me who really did it." But no one was willing to say a word. That poor kid looked at us and said, "Tell him." But no one said a word. And the bully just sat there and grinned. Well, from that day on, the kid who the driver thought was guilty was made to sit in the front seat right behind the driver. You see, when good people fail to speak up and tell the truth, bad things usually happen to the innocent. Every day in our society, people are forced into much more difficult circumstances where they must make some very hard choices. And it is in these situations when a person's good character either shines brightly or goes dim, depending on the choices they make. It's like the story I read several years ago about Dorothy Stang. Sister Dorothy, as she was known, was a member of the Sisters of Notre Dame. Most folks would not take a second look at Dorothy if she passed by them on the street. She was a small, thin woman in her 70s, with just a hint of color left in her hair. For the last 30 years, Sister Dorothy had been working in the jungles of northern Brazil, about 30 miles from the nearest village. Her specialty was working with the local mix of people who owned no land and were just trying to eke out a living through subsistence farming in the rainforest. Since these people were extremely poor, they would often get chased off of the small plots of land they farmed for food by large ranchers and logging companies who were involved in illegal logging and many other illicit activities. When she started to complain to the owners of the companies, little was done. In fact, when she did so, then she began to receive threats. Finally, she petitioned the Brazilian government about the situation, which made national news and called attention to the illegal land grabbing of the loggers and ranchers who were cutting down huge swaths of protected rainforest. Exposed, the offending parties ceased their illegal activities for a while, but it did not last for long. One day, while with some of the local natives, they walked upon two men scouting out an area to log off. When she identified who she was and what she was doing, they asked if she was armed. When she replied only with the word of God and then began to read it to them, they shot her, first in the stomach and then in the head. Sister Dorothy was forced to make a choice. When she was faced with the choice between speaking the truth to power or backing down and looking the other way, she chose to do what was right, and it cost Sister Dorothy her life. Mark tells the story of John the Baptist's fate, noting that Jesus will also be treated in a similar way. He recounts to us the story of John's encounter with King Herod and why Herod had him put in prison. But even in the midst of this, John would not back down, but he spoke the truth to Herod. Speaking the truth to powerful people will usually cost you. Speaking the truth when no one wants to hear the truth will also not win you any popularity contests. It is at times such as these when we will learn a person's true character. We are told that Herod feared John because he believed John was a prophet of God. As John gained in influence, he was often compared to Elijah, who confronted a powerful and corrupt king in his time as well, King Ahab. We read in the book of 1 Kings that King Ahab and wife Jezebel plotted to have Naboth killed because he would not sell his family's land to them. And when Elijah exposed the fact that Jezebel had him killed so they could steal his vineyard, Elijah's life was now in danger. There are countless stories in American history of martyrs and whistleblowers who stood up, took a stand, and spoke the truth. These people were willing to do what was right, often exposing abuse and corruption, even though most of them knew they would pay a heavy price for doing so. So what if we are called as Christians to speak the truth about our faith in the public forum? How many of us here today are willing to do so? Are we willing to stand up and tell others that we are Christian? Are we willing to stand by our Christian principles, even if it may cost us money or a job or bring persecution upon us? Or will we just stand by and keep silent? How about when we see injustice or instances of people or companies who have power taking advantage of the elderly or those who have none? How will we respond, and what will we do? Remember that Jesus addressed this very thing as he finished speaking to the people gathered on a hillside. This is a familiar message that we call the Sermon on the Mount, where he says, "Blessed are you when people revile you, persecute you, and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Matthew 5:11-12. Rejoice and be glad? How is that even possible? Well, only the persecuted person can really speak to that. They rejoice because they are persecuted for doing something worth being persecuted for. They rejoice because they are clearly following Jesus and are following the principles that Jesus taught. John the Baptist did not waver when forced to choose to speak the truth to power, and neither did Sister Dorothy. E. Stanley Jones once said that peacemakers and prophets will need to get used to the sight of their own blood. Any time someone is willing to speak the truth or point out corruption and injustice, they had better get ready to pay the price. Likewise, anyone who has been placed in position of leadership, who must make decisions that will affect other people, had better get ready for the criticism that is sure to come their way. Our bishop is quick to point out this fact to all those who are entering the ministry. One of his favorite sayings is, "If you lead, you will bleed." As Americans, we rarely experience true persecution. Oh, we like to think that we have at times. We complain about the organizations that often appear to run counter to Christian causes, like the ACLU or People for the American Way, and many other groups in our secular culture. But in reality, few of us have truly experienced real persecution. Try reflecting back on your own life and ask yourself, when did standing up for Christ or identifying yourself as a Christian really cost you? If you have ever spoke up for someone who is being treated unjustly, did it cost you then? In reality, very few of us have ever lost a job or been put in jail or anything else because we are a Christian. No, I believe a little persecution might just be what we need in this country to wake a lot of people up. Because as Christians, we have become very complacent. The truth is that one of the major hindrances to true discipleship in America today is that the average Christian desires simply to be liked and to be just like everyone else and to not stand out in the crowd. Jesus told his disciples that they would, not might or could be, but would be persecuted. If they followed him and did what he was doing, they would not be a part of the popular crowd. This puts me in mind of something Dr. Charles Stanley once said. Too many Christians have a commitment of convenience. They'll stay faithful as long as it's safe and doesn't involve risk, rejection, or criticism. Instead of standing alone in the face of challenge or temptation, they check to see which way their friends are going. The truth is this. If we are always seeking recognition, respect, and are more worried about having people like us than how faithfully we are living out our Christian principles, then we likely are not leading or doing anything of any real worth. And if we are more worried about being nice and being popular than being a true disciple of Jesus Christ, then we probably are not doing much to challenge the powers of injustice around us. Jesus called us to be willing to pay the price of being one of his disciples. He said, "Take up your cross and follow me." I would suggest that if you are one of the popular people, if everybody at work just loves you and all your friends know that you would never speak against them, no matter what they did or what you saw them doing, then you probably have left your cross laying back on the road somewhere, and you're not carrying one right now. There is a story told about John Wesley. He had been preaching for several days, feeling he was having little effect. The crowd seemed complacent, and his preaching seemed to solicit little response from the people. He was becoming discouraged and wondered if he should just move on to the next village. Then, as he was finishing up a sermon, he mounted his horse, and just then a brick sailed past his head, just missing it, and landed in the mud beside him. He looked around, but saw nothing. Then he looked to the heavens and thanked God, knowing that if Satan was at work in the crowd, he must be doing something right, and his words were having an effect. We might not ever be called to be martyrs like Jesus, John the Baptist, or Sister Dorothy, but we are called to stand up for what is right and to stand for Christ. We are called to stand up for the truth, and especially for those who have no voice or power in our society. And when we do so, then let us rejoice when we are persecuted for it, knowing that we are truly following Christ's example and laying up for ourselves a reward in heaven, so that we may be salt and light. Amen.